and on the Lord's Supper, Ron, Nathan, and Luke. And Tim will have the closing prayer. They're going to have announcements this month, so if we need to add anything, just let me know. Scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship through the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of their ministry. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the new day to worship you. Thank you for the morning. For each every day you give us to worship you. Thank you for the countless number of blessings, both spiritual and physical, they've given us. Thank you for the most important one, sending your Son down to die on the cross for us, for our sins, so that we may be forgiven of our sins and have that hope of eternal life with you someday. Thank you for our families and friends. Thank you for the different seasons, the weather. May you bless us with wisdom, strength, and encourage us through our hard times, and help us to learn from our situations we're in. Help us learn from those. Help us learn from our mistakes too. Help this morning to be beneficial for us, and in Christ's name, amen.
First song this morning will be number 5. Have a great day.
Oh Lord, my God, will I live also wonder? Consider all.
Sweetly in the trees, when I
How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is understanding, send him to die, I scarce can take it.
Take of the Lord's Supper with singing number 161. Hallelujah, for us.
Man of sorrow, what a name for us.
Pray for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, as we take this fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood, let us remember the ultimate sacrifice that he made for us. And let us take this in a manner that is well pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
you're marking your handbook, our phone in this case will be number 274. If you're able to stand at this time, you'll see number 69. What a prayer we had to do before Brandon was really awesome.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
As we've gone throughout our worship so far, and we continue to be so as we go throughout the remaining of our worship service. At this time, I'm going to ask that you open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. When we start in our lesson in the book of Acts, and ask that you follow along as we go through the lesson to make sure that the truth is being taught, and if you have any questions, please ask them so that we can study it and make sure that the truth is being taught. In the world today, when we think about preaching Jesus, and again, the points that I'm about to bring out are points that should be taught. But mainly, a lot of people want to talk about preach the man, not the plan. Or they want to hear preaching of Jesus and His love. They want to hear about preaching grace and the salvation that Jesus has brought. They want to hear preach Jesus and His forgiveness of sins, and certainly things in which we need to be preaching, which are true, which line up with the Word of God, and we never want to deny those things. But as so many in this world get caught up and focus on just those things, they leave out so much, and we're just going to be bringing out a few points. I'm sure that there are other points that you can think of that could be added to this lesson. But I wanted to bring out a few things that we want to make sure that we're bringing out about our Lord and when it comes to preaching about Jesus. And the first thing I want to bring out, of course, is that we should be preaching Jesus. That is a necessary thing, that we do not want to hide behind any man. We don't want to hide behind anything but our Lord. That is who we are teaching. That is who we are preaching when we try to get someone to hear the Word of God, when we want to tell them about salvation, when we talk about heaven, when we tell them why it is we live our lifestyle, it should come back to our Lord and Savior. It should come back to Jesus. So I want to start off in the book of Acts and just see that throughout their preaching, throughout when the church began, they preached Jesus. And we're going to get from the beginning of the book of Acts almost to the Acts chapter 8 in this first point. And you can go throughout the rest of the book and continuously see that they preached our Lord and Savior. So if you will, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and look with me there in verse 22. As Peter, and of course, as the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles, they began to speak in tongues. The men were a little bit confused, that there were a great amount of people that had gathered together here, and they heard them speak, and some said it was, you know, them, you know, gift to God. Others were saying they were drunk. So Peter began to preach. He began to preach, and when he preached to them, when he taught them, read with me verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him," speaking of Jesus, "being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death." He went forth and preached the Lord here. He says, "Jesus of Nazareth, you saw his miracles, you saw his signs, and yet you guys took him and brought him through pain of death." And you jump down to verse 32. Verse 32, again, this Jesus, again, they taken the Lord, that they crucified the Lord. It says, "This Jesus God raised up, of which were all witnesses." Again, in verse 38, as they were cut to the heart, and they're asking what needs to be done, it says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They preached Jesus. The first sermon after our Lord had died and resurrected and ascended into heaven, as he ascends into heaven and he gives them the Great Commission, he sends them out to go and preach to all the world, to all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What did they go forth and preach? What did they go forth and teach? They taught our Lord. They taught our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 13, Acts chapter 3, looking at verse 13, going back to Abraham and Isaac, it says, "Then the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Again, he came back to our Lord, came back to Jesus. In verse 16, "And his name," through faith, "and his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him and given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And so again, if you look at that, and you follow the context of the Scripture, starting there, going back to verse 13, leading up to this, him, his name, Jesus, one and only name in which we can be saved. He is the chief cornerstone. You get down to verse 20, it says, "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by mouth of this holy prophets since the world began." Again, he just continuously throughout the book of Acts, we see Jesus being taught. When they tried to stop the apostles from teaching, they tried to stop them teaching Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, Acts 4 and verse 18, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." And again in chapter 5, when they did not stop teaching Jesus, they continued to preach the Word of God. They continued to teach the truth They threatened him again, but here in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, they would not stop. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by the hanging on a tree. Him, God exalted his right hand and present prince and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And jumping down to verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They taught Jesus. Daily, from house to house, going into the temple, wherever they went, they taught Jesus. They didn't just always go forth and just, yes, teach on this one subject, just teach on this one thing. But in teaching all these things, as we go forth and we want to talk about what thou shalt do and what thou shalt not do, we need to bring it back to, because Jesus died for us. Because Jesus is the one that has given us these things. Because Jesus is the Word, as we turn to John chapter 1, He is the Word. And so as we open up the Word and we study it, yes, the Holy Spirit guided these men to write it, and the men wrote them down for us, but the Word is our Lord. This is what He wants us to have. So we need to preach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to preach Him continuously. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, as they went forth and preached to the Samaritans. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Philip going forth and preaching the Word, it says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. He went forth and preached. And as he preached the kingdom, he preached our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, as there in Acts chapter 8, again, going to the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he came and he studied, again, studied the law, studied the Old Testament, studied the prophets. There in verse 32 says, the place in the Scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom does the prophet say of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So we're going to go forth and we're going to start preaching. We're going to start teaching others. We're going to try to convert the world, go out and preach the gospel. We're going to preach Jesus. And yes, when we preach Jesus, we're going to preach about His love. Yes, we're going to preach about His grace and His forgiveness and His kindness and His mercy. But other things that we're going to preach, we preach about Jesus, we're going to preach baptism. We're going to preach that one needs to be baptized into Christ in order to be saved. Because that's what we see take place throughout the Scriptures. And when we talk about Jesus, that's what happens. As we stand here in Acts chapter 8, and you look at the next verse, as Philip opened his mouth beginning in that scripture, preached Jesus to him, and then we don't know what else was told, right? I don't know how he connected the dots. He went forth and started here and started with the prophets, looking at Isaiah and what other prophecies he may have brought out, saying, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And you see, if you heard the stories, and I'm sure the word had gone throughout, everybody heard about this man who the Romans had scourged and beat and placed on the cross, and how everybody, he had this great following. And then he started making the connections and seeing he was talking about Jesus. And somewhere along that road, as they're still continuously traveling, you have to assume he preached baptism. As he preached Jesus, he preached baptism. Because you read verse 36 and it says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? How can you preach Jesus without preaching baptism? I know that sometimes we get on a topic and we may not get to it at this point. But if you're going to continuously have studies and you're going to open up the Word of God and you're going to preach the Lord, you're going to preach again, some of the verses we've already looked at brought out baptism time and again. Acts 2 and verse 38, when it told them to repent and be baptized, right? For the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. We see there throughout these scriptures, they are to be baptized into Jesus. If we're going to preach Jesus, we're going to preach baptism. Why? Because He died to wash our sins away. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, we're looking there and in verse 28. Here, as He institutes the Lord's Supper, He makes mention about the cup. He makes mention about the fruit vine, the blood being shed for us. He says, "From this, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Why did Jesus die? Why was His blood shed for us? For the remission of sins. Or for the forgiveness of sins. Now, why are we baptized? Why are we baptized into Christ? Again, I know I quoted it just a second ago, but it's from Acts 2, verse 38. Go back to that verse. Acts 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Make the connection. Again, many will say, well, Acts 2, 38 is supposed to say because of the remission of sins. Get baptized because you have been saved. Well, if you do that with Acts 2:38, then you have to do that with Matthew 26 and verse 1. You have to come and over say, Jesus died and shed His blood because your sins are already forgiven. That's not what it says. He shed His blood so that you can receive the forgiveness of sins, so that you can receive the remission of sins. And so therefore, we are baptized into Christ Jesus in His name for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. Because we look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, and you look with me there, and starting in verse 3, Romans 6 and verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death?" So when you are buried in the water, it is as if you are buried with Christ. You're buried just like He was buried because He died. Verse 4 says, "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Just as God raised Christ up, we are raised up out of the water. And as we are raised out of the water, we walk in newness of life. "For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we also shall in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with Him." As you study, you read through here in Romans 6, it just makes it clear that what baptism does, baptism puts us into Christ. It helps us to represent and to be a memorial, to do the things in which, in a spiritual mindset, not that we physically touch the blood of Christ, but through faith, the blood of Christ washes our sins away. We receive that spirit of adoption. We are added to His kingdom, added to the Lord's church. These all happen in baptism. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, looking there, and in verse 27. And that's where we start in verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When did we put on Christ? When you were baptized. When you were baptized. We were baptized into the Lord. And so I just, how can someone go forth and preach Jesus without preaching baptism? If we're going to preach our Lord, we will preach baptism. If we're going to preach Jesus, then we are going to preach His church, His kingdom, His body. Because He came down and established. In Matthew chapter 16, we see Him bring out the point that He is going to establish His kingdom. What it was going to be built on. In Matthew 16 and verse 15 here, Peter goes forth and makes a great confession. Right? Matthew 16, starting there in verse 15. After being questioned, who do people say that I am? Then he goes forth, who do you say that I am? Right? In verse 15, who do you say that I am? In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So again, we're preaching Jesus. This is speaking specifically about Him. We're reading Jesus' reply. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He said, I will build my church single. One. Upon your confession, upon this confession that I am the Son of God, that is what the church is going to be built on. That's why we encourage that confession. Again, confession is needed to be made for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Again, we see the eunuch make it there in Acts chapter 8. As he, before he is baptized, he was questioned, you know, what hinders me from being baptized? He answered, Philip answered, if you believe, nothing. And so he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they went both down into the water and baptized him. If we're going to preach Jesus, we're going to preach His kingdom. We're going to preach the church in which He had built. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 4, Ephesians chapter 4, looking there, and in verse 4 says, there is one body. Right? One body, one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. One body. When it says one body, we can turn to Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 here makes the point that the body is the church. Colossians 1, and in verse 24 says, I now rejoice in suffering for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Understand in Ephesians, when it says that there is one body, he says there is one church. One. Because if we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about Christ being the head of the body, the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5, looking there, and in verse 23, says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. See how He made those connections, that He brought out the church in one verse, in the verse, and then brought out the body in the same verse. He's bringing out the same point. If we consider the church being the body of Christ, Christ being the head of the body, then it's easy to picture how there would only be one church, one body. Because as we are humans and we are one head, we have one head, it is connected to one body. And if my hand was connected to more than one body, it would not be right. It would not look right. It's not how we were made. And so God gives us this illustration. He makes this connection for us so that we can understand that if we're going to preach Jesus, we're going to preach His church, His kingdom, His body. But also as we continue in that point that we're going to preach certain things about Jesus, then we're going to preach this. We're going to preach that sometimes we have to correct people. Sometimes we have to be willing to rebuke others who are in error. In Matthew chapter 18, again, we see our Lord speak about it Himself. Matthew 18 and in verse 15. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Again, as we read through this, as much as people want to say, you know, when you preach Jesus, you got to preach love, and that means you just got to let people be happy with what they're happy with and let them feel good with what makes them feel good, and you don't have to rebuke them at all. That's not what Jesus said. Rather, we see Jesus bringing out the point that if a brother is in sin and he sins against you, go and tell him he is wrong, that he has sinned. If he does not listen, then you bring a couple of witnesses. If he does not listen then you bring it to the church. If he doesn't listen then, what's it say? It says, treat him like a heathen. Meaning you don't want to have part with them. You do not want to participate with their sins, with their actions. You do not want to be named among them because they are doing evil. They are in sin. Treat them like a tax collector because we don't want to go around, you know, dealing with the taxes and then taking money. I mean, again, we know that Jesus, when he came to the temple at one point, that he saw that there was money changers and they were overcharging their brethren and they were making the Lord's house into a den of thieves. So what did he do? He overturned the tables. He made himself a whip. He chased them out. He rebuked them. Even when Peter tried to stop Jesus saying, no, you will not die. You will not suffer. I will fight for you. He had to rebuke Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. If we're going to preach Jesus, then sometimes that means we are disciplined, that we are rebuking others. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 12, and looking there in verse 6, it reads here, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Or if you are without chastening, or of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Right? You know, we understand discipline today here on earth, right? We understand when our parents got onto us, and yes, we didn't like it. I know none of us like it when we get rebuked. But when we turn around and we reflect on it, we realize the good from it, we realize that we turned out better because of it, that then it would allow us to go down a bad path if we didn't. Yeah, we can't concept it when God's Word rebukes us. To tell us that we can't do what makes us happy. We want to preach Jesus. We want to preach discipline. We want to preach these things that we find in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. What the Word of God does for us today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As it reads here, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for teaching others, for reproof, for proving the truth, for correction and instruction in righteousness. For what? For correction. For correcting others who are in error. For correcting those who believe falsely. For correcting those who have strayed away. Right, that the man of God may be equipped, fully equipped for every good work. But we may be completely good for everyone. It's there so that we can correct each other. So that we can make sure that we are lined up with the chief cornerstone and that we're going down the right path and following in his footsteps. Final point for this morning, if we want to preach Jesus, then we are going to preach the truth. We are not going to sway one way or the other, but we're going to go straight down the path which the Lord has given to us. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, if you turn along with me to verse 31, John chapter 8, looking at verse 31. They're reading, it says, and Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. If you abide in my word, if you do as I say, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to teach the truth, because the truth is what will set people free. Meaning that as we preach the truth, we're going to preach our Lord and Savior. We're going to preach Jesus. Because in John 14 and in verse 6, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. And we're going to make it clear that there is no other way. There is no other foundation. There is no other being that can save you, that you can be baptized into, that can wash your sins away. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is our life. If we do not go to Him, then we will not enter into heaven. Again, that's the point, is that it's when we say the truth, we're talking about God's truth, Jesus. Not as the world today wants to go down that road of, well, it's my truth, my story, what I say. One last verse for this morning. Turn along with me. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Looking there in verse 11 again, making the point that it is God's truth. Psalm 86. Looking there in verse 11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Are we walking in God's truth? Are we walking in the name of the Lord? Have you been baptized into Christ to wash your sins? Because if not, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation right now. We're going to invite any who have yet to be baptized into Christ to be baptized and wash their sins away. Because that's what one must do in order to receive forgiveness. If you're here and you haven't done those things, you need the prayer of the brethren because you have fallen short. Or maybe it's just because you've been struggling and just life has been pounding down on you. You haven't sinned, but you just like the prayers of the brethren so that you don't fall into the temptation that is at you. We're always here to help one another. If there's anything we can do for you, let me know.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Thank you.
come before on the prayer of the 5, 7.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare?
Resist the temptations and face the challenges of this life each day. Jesus' name.